The recording has started.
Thank you very much, Teresa. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. This is the MPOC Charter Review call on Tuesday, the 10th of April 2018 at 1600 UTC. On the call today, we have John Carr, Gangadhar Pandey, Juan Manuel Rojas, Raul Plummer, and from staff, we have myself, Mariam Bakoshi, and Terry Agnew. I would like to remind all participants to please state your name before speaking for transcription purposes. Thank you very much, and over to you, John and Raul.
Great. So welcome, everyone. This is the charter call. We've identified a number of issues that we want to address, and so we're going to be dealing with them today. Poncele did give regrets or said that he doesn't want to work on it because he thinks it's fine, and so we have his blessings, but we'll still need to get that later. And Sam is in China, and I have not heard from Olivier, so let's get to it then. Go ahead, Raul, please.
Okay, so I think we could work on the last part, which we haven't done. If we think elections could be next, that's something that we haven't really gone through, have we? At least it's empty on the spreadsheet.
Might I suggest something, Raul? If we could deal with the issues that we've identified, and then send both documents to John Moore and ask him to, you know, because an election, he's just going to sort of transfer it into the new document, right? There are no issues around, I don't think, any administrative or policy issues around the elections per se. And then when we have that document and identify all the issues, then we can send it off, because otherwise we're going to keep identifying things and it's never going to get done, really.
Yeah, it's just we have like the last four sections from elections to amendments, and I think those are really quite short. They're like basically two A4 in all.
Okay, where do you want me to go to?
So if we start with elections, that's 8. The tab or the sheet number 8.
There we go. Can you see it?
Hang on. Yep, I can. Okay, so, because I think we could just send it to John, but I think we should go like finish the last four and then we can send it off, and because that's really the end of the first
right.
phase. I think we got like maybe 10 issues there at the moment. Might be able to go through them as well, but if we just start with the elections and see how far we get to by 5 o'clock, let's say.
Okay.
All right. Was this? This was just a one-hour meeting, was it?
That's right. I was just going to say.
Hmm. Right.
So the So a lot of these issues, the content in the old charter is, you know, it goes from the EC to the membership committee to, like, it's just the the whole procedure is onerous. So what we've done is actually, in terms of functionality, we're looking at it from the EC, right? Calling the election, and then it's much easier. So a lot of the procedures, for example, details of process, you know, we don't have to task the communications committee anymore. We're going to make the decision that it goes on the website. Do you understand what I mean? Like, the same as the, there is no request for nomination form, never has been. This is number 10 on the content. There never has been. I mean, I've done the elections for the last 3 years. So what we do is have the active updates, where we, which I'm working on right now. So that's gone. And the membership committee is just a coordinator that the actual active database goes to staff, and Miriam gives us a list or of who has sent their updated information at the end of the period. That's all that happens. Much, much easier.
Right. So, is this related to the election section?
Yes. Number 8.
Right. Yeah. So we should have that for the EC instead of
the
community. Yeah, I think. We've had a membership committee reviewing the requests for nominations in the old charter.
Yes. We don't have that. We've never had that.
Right. Yeah, that's actually the... I guess you just wrote that EC there about the membership
committee. Yeah, I put it in.
Okay. Yeah. Right. Yeah, and... The others?
Now, the other thing that we had talked about was the 60 days, which is 8.2.1.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
That it should be at least 60 days notice, which I think it should be. We were talking that we would reduce that, so we may want to do that here.
Yeah, so if we wanted 230.
Yeah, so, but then if we do that, I just want to point out, if we do that, then we have to reduce the other days as well. There's three things that happens. There's one, the notification goes out via, it should be posted on the website, so that's the first thing. We've always posted it on the discuss list as well, which I think we should do both, 60 days beforehand, and then there are instructions. 15 days is given for them to update their information to all the members, then after the 15 days, those are the members that will be issued a ballot at the very end. So then there's call for nominations, which they can self-nominate or whatever, but then they have to give information about themselves. So if we're going to reduce the 60 days, all I'm saying is we may have to end up reducing the nomination period as well, or we could leave it at 15 so that it's open.
Yeah, I think 15 would be
nomination. Number 2. Yeah.
Shouldn't be shorter anyway.
We have to change the wording because there is no nomination form, so we have to say what that information has to say is that I'm going to write this down because it's that an email is sent out for members to become active. This is where the good standing happens. So Miriam and I can work on that wording.
Right. And is it that, you know, we need to give the notice 60 days or 30 days prior to upcoming election. Does that mean that the nomination can be happening in the latter part of the 15 days?
Yes.
of that 30 days, yeah?
Right. So it would be 15
days. So basically, we give notice 1 month before, and then
yes.
after 15 days, people can start nominating.
Right.
Yeah. So then, it, like, the period shuts off at the same time. I think that
yes.
would make sense.
And then what happens, 15 days and 15 days, right? 1-4 after the notification. So the notification is 30 days is what we're saying, correct?
Yeah, from the day of
okay.
the vote.
Right. So the notification is 30 days. 15 of those days is for people to enable people to update their information. And then the other 15 is for nominations, which includes them giving information. I have that
uh-huh.
all down that way. And then you need one more, you need a day for, it's got to be, if it's 30 days, we need at least one day for the voting. Now, we did 30 days before for the voting. That's why it was 16.
Yeah, that's a bit extensive.
Yeah.
But I think 15 days for the vote would be fine.
So the nominations then, is it 15 days for the voting, then...
Okay, so basically 30 days before the voting starts, we let people know that there's going to be election in 1 month. Then after 15 days, we tell them that, okay, now you can nominate for the next 15 days before the election starts. And then the election would go for 15 days.
So that's
on the
45 days.
Yeah, altogether, yes.
Yes, that's what I'm trying to figure out. We can't say 30, it's actually 45 days. So we've taken
yeah.
off 15 days.
Yeah. I guess it can't really be much shorter than that.
Right.
Unless we made a notice of the elections, it could make sense to just have like a 15 days notice from the elections and you could start nominating straight off the bat. Then we wouldn't even need to make another notice about the nomination. We can just say it when the notice from the of the election comes, like, and we can make that.
We don't have to do more than one notice. We only do one. All
mm-hmm.
we do is, like, Miriam and I did it in the past as well, just a reminder, but it wasn't a new notice. All the notification that goes out spells it out
right.
at the onset.
Okay,
but I wanted to suggest something. 15 days,
uh-huh.
maybe we can cut that down, the 15 days for updating your information. We may
uh-huh.
want to cut that down to 7.
Hello, this is Ganga. May I say something?
Go ahead, Ganga.
Does the candidate get an opportunity to withdraw their nomination? We have some time for that.
What was the question?
I didn't catch that, yeah.
Does the candidate get an opportunity to withdraw the nomination, take it back?
To withdraw, any candidate can withdraw at any time.
Do you have any specific period for that to do that?
They can just withdraw.
Yeah, okay.
You don't have to have any policies around anybody withdrawing. They have to give you notice that they've withdrawn, but that's it. But that's a personal decision. That's not our. We're only dealing with things that's our decision. Somebody withdrawing is not our decision.
Yeah, normally there is a time.
Sorry? If you are speaking, so Ganga, we can't hear you. Sorry.
Oh.
But did that answer your question?
Yes.
Okay. So the question is, do we want to go 45 days, or are we? So the first option is, are we happy with 45 days? So that's 15, 15, and 15. 15 for the updating, 15 for the nomination process, and 15 for voting. Or do we want to reduce those days? That's the question.
Well, I think we could let when we make a notice about the elections, I think we could there and then say that, okay, you can now start nominating, and you can also, if you want to be active in the elections, you have that same 30 days to do that, like before they.
Do that anyway. People do that anyway, but we can't do that because if somebody nominates someone that is not an active member, then that becomes an issue for us. We're opening the door for issues.
Okay, so maybe we then it's like 38 days before the elections, and we say that the election is. No, sorry. Like it would be 38 in all, but 3 weeks, so 21 days before the election, we'd let know that, okay, election starts in 21 days. The first week, you can like activate your membership and take like participate in the elections. If you do that, like you have that 1 week to do that. And then the next 2 weeks, it's already nominating period, and then the election starts.
So the notification says, just want to be clear, how many days for a member to become active?
Like 7 days. That's what you suggested,
okay.
Right?
It was just an option. Yeah, 7 days. And then 15 days. Once we have that, then we have 15 days for
the
nomination process. And then 15 days for voting. So that's 30.
Yes.
That's 37. 37.
Okay. Right.
The other thing we could do is make it 7, 15, and 7.
Just 1 week for the elections.
Yeah.
Well, if it was a month and it was 2 weeks, I think that would be quite a big change already.
Okay. And so
it's just if people are like somewhere on their holidays or something, I don't know.
Okay, give them time.
Then 1 week does seem a little short.
Okay. So 7, 15, and 15, 37. And then we have to add at least 2 days in between. So for the 7 days, then we have to do plus one to make sure the database is updated. Plus one or two, I'll figure that out. Then the 15 days, and then for voting, and then staff needs, I would say, at least 2 days for the ballots. So that's 37, 39, 40. So I'm going to work with a 40-day period. How's that?
Yeah, sounds good.
Yeah, which would add those 2 days as well.
Although, come to think of it, I mean, if we have sort of 15 days for each of these periods, then maybe it would make sense to also have 15 for the for the opportunity to show your like that you're active again.
So 15 is easy.
Yeah, I guess that would keep it really simple. 15 15 15.
Okay. All right, so I scrap the other one because then it makes it easier as well. Then they don't have to remember, right?
Exactly. Then it can, it's just 15, 15, 15, and everybody knows.
Yeah, okay, so, and then I will add the other 2 days. Okay. Sounds good.
All right.
So no one can say, oh, I thought it was 7 days for this and whatever. Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. So we're required to give them 45 days, but the actual dates are, it's going to end up being 47, but they, so
right.
It acts in our favor. They get more days from our side, so they can't complain. So,
okay.
All right. So is everybody in agreement? Any questions, objections, inputs, comments?
Yes, this is Ganga Parikar. The timeline of 15 plus 15 plus 15 days is okay for me.
Okay, thank you. One. One, you're on mute probably. I see you're trying to speak. Yeah, you might be on mute, Juan. No, we're not hearing you. Do you have it on mute? No, just let us know if you have any objections by objections or comments or agreements, either by Skype or I'm just going to put down Ganga and you're on. So Ganga, Raul, and myself have agreed. Okay. All right, next. Let us know if your phone, if you can speak at some point, Juan. Okay, so that's the one I wanted to point out. We have for
It's good to be in.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm just gonna say that it's good to have it that kind of simple thing so that people don't get confused, including myself.
Yeah. So now the next thing that I see is we'll go ahead, Juan.
Okay, no, it's testing. Mariam asking check. Okay, I'm back.
Okay, so are you in agreement with the timeline for the election?
Yes, I was proposing that 7 days, but it's better 15 days each.
Yeah, it just makes it easier for us. Never mind about that.
Yep.
And it gives nicely, like, enough time for each of the phases, so.
Yeah. The other thing that I had an issue with for the election was we talked about that the membership committee is not doesn't review it, that we don't need the forms for formal acceptance, so we can remove 8.2.3 altogether.
Yeah.
So now,
what about this, that no position shall have more than four candidates?
Yeah, what do you guys think about that? I mean, I didn't understand why it was limited.
Yeah, nor do I, really.
I mean, I think, for me, the more the better. That shows a lot of interest.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think there can be too many candidates.
No. Later, somebody else might say, well, we need to change it again, but I don't think we should ever limit the number of people that apply for something.
Yeah. Yeah, it seems unnecessary.
Yeah. So we can remove that. There was another one that so the number 8.2.1, we now have to change 60 days to 45 days.
Right.
And take out the request notice of request for nominations. Oh, no, we have to do that anyway. That's what we're saying in the notification. That's not the one I want to do. Sorry, it's the forms. Oh, 8.2.3, we're removing that altogether anyway, so that takes care of that.
All right.
And in 8.1, I didn't double-check this, unfortunately, is the office, that position, are they defined in 2.2, or is it another section?
Sorry, the 8.25?
No, 8.1. It says all candidates for elected office must meet the qualifications of the office position they seek as defined in section 2.2. Is
all right.
It defined in 2.2?
No, I think that's changed.
Right. Man, there's so many little
things. You could look that up.
Yes. I think it's...
3.62 says that run for or nominate another member ORs to positions elected by NPOC members by complying with the election procedures.
Right. Okay.
So 3.62, yeah.
Okay. And we can remove 8 points. Yes, we did say that. Remove. Yeah. Wow. Now, are we going to remove 8.2.4?
Yeah,
we'll remove it because we're not putting any rules to it.
Yeah, we don't need a limit.
No. Okay. Just want to always double check to make sure we're making the right decisions at this time. Okay, restriction nomination. Okay, so 8 point, that's removed anyway, so that's good. We don't have to deal with that. Okay. Okay. All right. Looks good. I think we're good for this for now.
Hello. Excuse me.
Go ahead. Yep. Go ahead, Juan.
Oh, my.
Hey, guys. Can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead, please.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I spoke with my mute mic. Okay. No, I was reading to 8.25, and I was wondering if you are going to separate voting and election on, or maybe we are gathered all together in just one section.
The election? It will be under a heading called elections.
Just one section called election and voting, as Raul said, in Puerto Rico?
Yeah, it will be all under the same.
Okay.
Organized
okay.
Under the... Yeah.
Okay. Okay, thank you for clarifying.
Yeah, because right now it's under two sections, and then it's also under the duties of the EC, and then it's also under the membership.
It's just one procedure, right?
Right.
Okay. Don't worry. Okay.
That's what we'll try to get the end document to look like.
Easier to read. Okay, understand.
Yeah.
Okay.
Great. Where to now, Raul?
Yeah, I like the sound of that end document.
Yes. We are getting there.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that's pretty clear. I think we went through all the old rules and like noticed that it's somewhere in the new rules or it can be removed.
Right. So elections will be defined, and then the voting procedures will be under that as well, as opposed to being separate. So, okay.
Right.
Would you like me to go to now?
We could mention that to John as well if he's mixing these up.
That's right.
Okay. So the next one is voting.
Voting. Okay. All right.
So I guess it's really about, do we want separate elections for the policy committee? Or at least its chair? Or do we just keep selecting it like we have done, just all together with the rest of the EC?
I think we actually identify, the chair actually has to identify the policy chair, so I think it should remain that the committee does that. Because they're actually representing MPOC EC as the chair.
Right. But the thing is, like, do we want to have that election? Like at the same time with the rest of the EC elections,
yes.
Because if you have a look at the section 911, it says mm-hmm. executive committee officer elections, and then 912 is election of committee chairs. So we can just have that as one election where the policy chair is also elected.
Right. So they have to state that's what they're running for.
Yeah. Exactly. Like all the rest of the positions.
Like we do now.
Yeah.
So we can remove 9.1.2 actually, because there's no committee chairs, it's just officers.
Yeah. We are really getting there.
The end document is at the end. We can see the light.
Yes. So then that's the EC election is the only election, isn't it?
That's right.
All right. And I guess the NCSG EC seat is decided by the EC, or
that's right. Yes.
I think it's good to leave that other matters can
yes.
be
yes.
As identified by the EC, so then we can vote for other stuff too.
That's right. That's right. We should always leave it open.
Yeah. Yeah, actually, we should check if that's in the new charter. Can somebody find that?
I thought I had it open. What number do you want me to go to? Voting?
No, well, I don't know if you need to move with the shared screen, but
Go ahead.
Charter 0.9, we'd need to look for a voting, and if we have the sort of, if the EC has the right to make voting about anything.
Yeah. If I change, it goes, because I'm sharing my screen, so if I go look, it changes it. So I'm writing down, what did you say in the new charter? Does voting, does EC have?
Like the right to make
Raul.
Kind of ad hoc elections.
Right.
Go ahead, Juan.
I am reading that you wrote NCSD EC seat, but I think it's seat. We have two seats there, right?
Oh, seats.
Yes.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
Yeah.
You can correct it there.
Yeah. Okay, yes, I wrote down. I'll look for that. Okay, next.
It doesn't really sort of say explicitly that we can make votes about different things, but is that really necessary to spell it out loud? Like,
no, because we have the right to... it does actually spell it out somewhere else. I'm trying to figure out where it was. That if, you know, if somebody is, it has all the rules around. If somebody, you have to remove someone, and then how do you? I think it's in the chair's responsibilities how they go about doing it. It is somewhere else, but we need to have that. We need to have that ability, but you still have to go to the membership to point it out that it has happened.
Right.
Like, we couldn't arbitrarily make those decisions. It's just giving us the right to do it. Now, the one thing I think that's missing, and I think I brought it up before, is decision-making process. We should have a... I know we say... I do believe that we say consensus, right?
Sorry? Could you repeat that?
Yeah, I don't think we have a section that categorically says what our decision-making process is. If there's a dispute, I always like things like that to be spelled out. And I believe it's, so far it's been running by consensus. I think that's how everybody runs it. And then everything goes on the chair if there is an issue. But, I mean, I don't know, I guess I believe in democracy, so...
Yeah, but I don't think that we need to be that, I don't know how to say it, in voting section about...
No.
It's not necessary
right
there.
Yeah. Okay, I just saw quorum, so that's why I brought it up. But good point. Okay, so anything else, you guys?
Let's see.
Looks of interest.
Oh, here it says all member organizations shall have an equal voting share of one vote. we have something else, don't we?
We do. Okay, so the first part is good. The EC will then determine whether or not. Okay, that's good. So then we can just copy that section that we give the rights. Maybe that's a question we should be asking on our applications as well. You know?
The right? I mean.
No, not the right. I'm just identifying things functionally.
Oh, the size.
Yeah.
Yeah, because we have two categories.
That's
we have
right.
Category
yeah,
one.
We have that before the categories and of the membership.
Yeah.
So if they are members, they have right to vote.
Yeah, but if they're a large member, they have more than one vote.
Yes, they have three votes. In fact,
right.
I think all of our members have at least two votes with the new charter.
Yeah.
Yeah, two votes for a small organization and three votes for large ones.
That's right, over a certain, and we have to identify what that is.
Yeah, I just added that 3.8 is the section in the new charter. It's about fees and member voting categories.
Right. Good catch. Okay. By the end of it, we'll be really good at this.
I know. We'll be like masters of our charter.
Yeah.
Oh, the quorum. That's...
That's what I was saying earlier. Okay, on this one. This is for voting for an elected position, unless otherwise. Meeting or something.
It's talking about amendments, but we have a whole section for amendments.
Yeah.
We used to.
The quorum is actually for the executive meetings.
Right.
It's not for voting. So there's a decision-making I was talking about earlier. It's at least one half plus one. So, yeah, that's a democracy.
Yeah.
I like that. Okay. So the quorum is about the meetings. It's not about the voting. So that actually goes into the EC meetings.
Yeah, because it's talking about amendments, and then it, in 9.2 in the new one, it says bylaws amendments shall be passed if at least 2/3 of the votes cast in the election favor its adoption provided a quorum of at least 40% or more of the eligible organizational members cast a ballot in the election, and eligible being the active ones, right?
Right.
We should actually add that there, eligible active organizational members.
Mm-hmm. See, I read this 9.4 as a direction for our executive meetings that we have monthly.
Right.
That's what it's saying. It's and then it has two parts to it. It's saying the decision of the executive committee. And then it then further says that if you're going to amend anything, what has to happen. So it's a two-part. It's telling the EC, if you're going to have your meetings, you need to have at least one half plus one, and then and the voting is 10% of the total voting members in favor of an amendment. So it's
a minimum of 10 members.
Yeah, 10%. So we can actually eliminate the second half because we already covered it later. And the first part, ending at quorum, should go under the executive committee decision-making. Man, oh man.
Mm.
To just highlight that it shouldn't be there anyway.
Right.
There's no way it should be under voting. So that can be removed to go maybe just put a sign EC or...
Yeah, I put 9.2, which is the amendment.
Yeah, okay.
But, all right. Processes.
And now it says 9.5 is fine, but it says the motion will be publicized on the MPOC website and an email sent to all members no less than 30 days before the vote. And we've just said 45 days.
No, but this isn't about the election, though.
This is a voting.
Yeah, this is voting.
So, see, there's two things here. Is it the voting for an amendment or is it voting for the election?
It's both, really. It basically lays out, like, how does the voting in elections and elsewhere happen.
Yeah.
So, with this, I think this it says motion shall be made to the EC. If upon favorable vote, the EC determines the motion should be put forward to the NPOC membership. So is that a motion from within the EC or from any member?
Yeah, I don't think they both should be together. We should have voting processes for an election, so that's one thing. And then decision-making separate, because it's too mixed up.
Right. Yeah, I tend to agree with that, actually. It would make it a lot clearer, because this is these are really the two really important things that people do check on our charter.
Yeah.
So, I mean, one of the very most sort of usual ones. So, yeah, I agree that we should have them separately, like... elections for the EC and all elections. That's the only election in it, and then the other voting for decision making that needs to include the amendments to the charter, and like quorums.
So that's one of the instructions I'll ask John to do for us. Is to do the voting process, and I can work with him for the election side of it because I know that side, and then put amendments under another heading, so it's very clear.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Sounds good.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
Because
did Juan want to say something?
Juan?
No, not me. But Ganga wants to say something. I think.
Oh,
okay.
Okay, Ganga, go ahead. If you are speaking, we can't hear you. Hi. Hello?
Hello?
I can't hear him. Ganga, we can't hear you. new charter. Oh, he's asking if the active member is defined. It is. Okay. Okay. Anything else? See, a lot of the 9.4 onward is about the amendments. I'm just going to write that down. 9.4. 2, 9. So we're in agreement with that, guys?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've read the rest of the parts now, and that's basically just about making a motion within NPOC.
Yeah.
And that's something that a member can do. The EC approves, and then it's passed to the whole membership.
That's right. Right.
For voting. Yes, a little bit.
Yeah, I just typed in my point. You can just go through that.
Where did you type it?
In the new charter, 6.2.5 clearly defines who an active member is, but I feel that we should have some similar provision in point 3, membership also, because 6.2.5 specifically covers the voting, and for amendment other things, we need to have some definition who an active member is, and this can go in point 3, membership.
Was this in, is this in the voting?
Yes. Because 6.2.5 only covers for the voting part. For amendments and other general issues, we don't have any provision who an active member is. Because when we are talking about quorum, we need to know who active member is.
Now, we don't have to do it twice, as long as it's defined somewhere. We're trying to make the charter shorter. As long as we can refer to it somewhere, as long as it's written somewhere, it's like in the public domain, as long as it's written somewhere and we can refer to it, I think that's what happened in the last time, is that they put information from one thing to the other, and it becomes confusing.
Yeah, and it's basically it says in the new charter, 625, it says, members who respond to the NPOC check-in process are deemed active members.
That's actually
defined right there.
That's
so,
as long as it's defined.
Yeah, and it's going to happen every year at election time. That's when it's sort of checked.
Yeah, I just wanted to know whether this is only for voting or for other issues like amendment or also it is covered.
No, it's global. It's for everything. Somebody that's not an active member should not be participating.
Okay, that's clear to me now. Thank you.
Okay.
And, of course, new members are active.
That's right.
Until the next check-in time.
That's right. Okay.
I think that pretty much covers 9. We decided to make a separate...
Yes.
Oh, yeah. It's actually 5:15 already.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. So we're running 15 minutes late now. but
we started later, but...
Yeah. Should we do this again next week?
Yeah, we're almost on a roll now, aren't we?
Yeah, I think one
two-hour session should really be enough to hand it to John.
Yeah.
We'll be able to. I mean, if you look at the number 10 and 11, they are really short.
Mm-hmm.
The amendments, it's just like three paragraphs.
Mm-hmm. The other thing we can do is tomorrow our meeting is 2 hours. We could dedicate, say, 20 minutes to this.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, could do that. Yeah.
And then instead of having a separate meeting, because it is 2 hours, I didn't think it would go on for 2 hours what we have to discuss, but...
Right.
It is.
No,
it
that's a really good idea, actually.
Yeah. Okay. And then that way, if now that we know, we can just dedicate that on to it. And I'll just do an update to the agenda and put that on. Okay?
All right. Cool.
Is everybody okay with that? Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. I have just a quick point to make.
Okay, go ahead.
This is Ganga for the record. I just want to know how transfer of the charge happens from one treasurer to another treasurer. I have seen in the charter there is nothing mentioned about it. There is one treasurer is completed his tenure and new treasurer is appointed by the chair.
Hello, John. I'm okay.
Hello?
Yes.
How the handing over of the charge happened from old treasurer to the new treasurer? Should we have something specifically about that in the charter?
No, they're appointed on an annual basis.
Okay. But when a new treasurer is appointed, old treasurer should hand over the accounts and all the things to the new treasurer. So how does it happen?
The EC would make the decision about and make a decision on appointing a treasurer.
Oh, that's okay. Appointing the treasurer is fine. Transferring the accounts from old treasurer to the new treasurer.
Yeah, then it would be a typical transfer that the EC, as in any organization, would make a motion that if it's a new treasurer, would transfer the authority to someone else, and that person, the existing treasurer, would take it to the bank, and then a new signature would be. Every organization does it.
So should we have something sentence specifically mentioning that in the charter?
Well, not necessarily. We can, but basically an appointment then has, whenever you do an appointment, then you have a direction on what happens next and the person follows it. But it's made in that process.
Okay.
Remember, it's an appointment, so the EC has the right to make those decisions.
So this handing over the charge part of thing is... taken care of in the appointment itself.
Yes, because then they give directions on what happens and how it happens.
Yeah. That's good. Okay. Thank you.
No worries. Okay, guys. So tomorrow I will update the agenda, send it off, and we can spend, 20 minutes to half an hour for this section? Does everybody think that's good?
Yeah, I think half an hour is pretty much all we need.
Okay. I won't put the timeline to it, but maybe what we will do, if it's okay with everyone, is we do the other stuff first, then we do that last.
Yeah, let's do that one.
Sounds good?
All right.
All righty. All right. Talk to you guys tomorrow. We will talk again. Thanks a lot, everyone. Miriam, calling this meeting to a close.
Perfect. Thank you very much. Teresa, you may stop the recording and disconnect all lines. Thank you.